And welcome to English for You. I'm Seb.
I'm Mike.
So, Mike, do you watch a lot of animated movies?
I watch the occasional animated movie.
Mm-hmm, cartoons.
Yes. I like my occasional cartoon, yes. Mm-hmm.
So, do you have any favorites?
Oh, gosh. Well, I'd say most of the Pixar films I'm a big fan of. I think they're always well done. I don't know if I've seen them all because they've made so many.
There are a lot.
But they're really good at making movies that are entertaining, both for the kids, and also they throw in some jokes and some ideas that are fun for the adults, too. So that's why they're kind of good for everyone to watch.
Yes, when you watch Toy Story and things like that, you tend to find some jokes
as
later
As you grow
when
up,
you are
you're
younger.
Like, hey, I didn't get that before.
There's that. Yeah. Another good one is Studio Ghibli, the Japanese animation studio. That's not digital animation.
No.
You were talking about digital animation.
Yep.
Studio Ghibli is more like cartoons, like Spirited Away. That's the most famous one.
Or Howl's Moving Castle.
Ah, that's my favorite.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But we're going to be talking about a different kind of animated movie today. Mm. So let's get started. Reading.
The magic of stop-motion animation. Imagine you see a giant ape climbing to the top of a building, or dinosaurs fighting each other. You've probably seen special effects like these in movies. Before computer animation was possible, this movie magic was achieved with stop-motion animation. This technique uses objects that are changed slightly between photographing each frame. That way, they appear to move on their own when the frames are played quickly as a movie. Stop motion has a long history in film. The first stop motion film, The Humpty Dumpty Circus, was made in 1898. In it, a toy circus of animals and clowns come to life. Over the next 100 years, stop motion grew into a complex art form. It included everything from puppets to clay to thousands of jointed models that could be posed. Traditional stop motion had its heyday through the 1970s and 1980s. It was a main visual effect in many films up until the 1990s, and it's still used in some films today.
All right, so the article is titled The Magic of Stop Motion Animation. As you mentioned, talking about Pixar, that would be computer animation, the old style. I think it's sometimes called just pen and ink animation. They draw pictures using pens, using their hands.
Hand-drawn
animation, that's like the old classic Disney style. But stop motion is a type of animation that you might be familiar with, but it isn't so common. So that's why when movies like that come out, they are a little bit more interesting than many of the animated movies we see. So let's begin the article by reading the first sentence, which tells us, imagine you see a giant ape climbing to the top of a building, or dinosaurs fighting each other. Imagine that.
Imagine this, though. We've got a grammar point in our first sentence.
I don't want to imagine that.
Yeah, but I guess we have to explain it. Okay, so we had that sentence there. Imagine you see a giant ape climbing to the top of a building. So that scene from King Kong, some of you might recognize. But what we're also seeing here is an imperative sentence or a grammar pattern that we use when we're telling people what to do. The article is telling you to think about a giant ape climbing up a building. Now, because everyone is a bit bossy, you'll see imperative forms a lot in English. We make this great bit of grammar by taking a verb using it without a pronoun. So we don't use I, we don't use you, she, he, all of that. We don't use our pronouns. We don't need these because when we are giving commands, we are almost always speaking to one person or a group of people in front of us and telling them what to do. So enough explaining. Let's take a look at a couple of examples. Take this medicine. Park the car over there. Turn off the rice cooker. So in all these sentences, I'm telling you what to do. But also notice that I'm not changing these verbs from the plain form. That's good news about imperative phrases. They don't need any kind of conjugation. You don't need to learn any special form for these verbs. So what if I want to tell you not to do something? Well, that's easy. Just use don't and a plain form verb. Remember, no pronoun. Don't eat that cake. Don't stay out late. And don't lie to me. Simple, right?
And we also had that great word dinosaur in that sentence. We were talking about dinosaurs fighting each other. And well, you don't have to see the movie they're talking about here, maybe, because we've all seen Jurassic Park.
Of course,
or a movie like that. And of course, those movies are all about dinosaurs fighting each other. No, dinosaurs is not Chris Pratt. He is not a dinosaur.
He's not.
Dinosaur, this is a noun, and it's basically a large ancient reptile or a really big scary lizard that lived millions and millions of years ago. Tyrannosaurus rex, Stegosaurus, Triceratops, Apatosaurus, Allosaurus, Pterodactyls, Archaeopteryx. These are all ancient dinosaurs, and they're all dead, except in the movies, but those aren't real. But dinosaurs, of course, are a whole type of animal that lived on Earth millions and millions of years before we humans showed up. For example, dinosaurs lived on Earth millions of years before humans did. And that's good for us.
That is good for us.
It worked out well for us.
It did work out well for us. So these dinosaurs are all dead, and we don't normally see giant monkeys climbing buildings, because these are, you know, this is why we use special effects for
them. That's it.
And that's what the article is saying here. You've probably seen special effects like these in movies. So special effects are different techniques we use to create an image that's probably not real, that we can't just film happening in real life. But we also saw the word probably there. Now that's an adverb, and when something probably happens, it might happen, or we are guessing that it will happen. So in the article, the writer is guessing that the reader has seen special effects in movies before. However, we can use probably in other ways too. I could say, it will probably rain tomorrow. I don't know it's going to rain tomorrow, but, you know, it's a bit cloudy in the sky. The sky's looking grey. It will probably rain.
It's a good bet.
Yes. Now, we've got some other words we could use too, which are like probably. We could use the word might. Potentially, that's a little bit harder. But, it means there's the potential, there's the chance of something happening. Or possibly. It could possibly rain tomorrow. Now, let's look at an example sentence. Phoebe is never normally late for work. She is probably stuck in traffic.
Oh, okay, because she's usually on time.
She's usually on time.
We know she drives. It's the morning. The streets are busy. It's a very good guess.
It's a good bet.
All right, so yes, we have probably seen things like this in films because, of course, they're fairly common, these special effects. But before computer animation was possible, this movie magic was achieved with stop motion animation. All right, so this is a little bit of the history of film because, of course, today a lot of computers are used to do special effects from simple little things like snow or smoke to big things like battling spaceships and flying dragons. They use this technology to achieve a certain effect or a certain look in a film.
Yes.
What is it to achieve something?
To achieve something. Well, that's a very good verb. And it's an easy verb to use. Its forms are achieve, achieved, achieved. So there's no difficult grammar to learn there. But watch out because it has a bit of a tricky spelling. It's A-C-H-I-E-V-E. Achieve, okay? Now, when we achieve something, we succeed in doing it. Or we manage to do or get something that is difficult to do or get. The article is saying that special effects are hard to create without computers, but the filmmakers achieved them by using stop motion. Now, we can achieve other things too. We can achieve a high grade in a difficult exam. We could manage to get a high grade in a difficult exam too. Or we could achieve a goal or an objective. Or we can talk loudly and proudly about our achievements. That is the noun form of achieve. Now, our example sentence for achieve is, I've been working all day, but I feel as if I've achieved nothing. Oh, that's kind of a sucky feeling, isn't
it? Yeah, you haven't reached any of your goals. You've kind of failed to do the things you wanted to.
Womp.
If you prepare and start work early enough, hopefully you will achieve your goals. Mm. And notice, yeah, we always achieve something. You don't just say, I achieved. No, you'd have to say, I achieved my goal, or I achieved the top grade on my test. Or something like that. So you always achieve the thing that you were aiming for, shooting for, trying to get. All right, back to the article. It says this technique, stop motion animation, is what we're talking about. This technique uses objects that are changed slightly between photographing each frame. And then speed it up, it looks like I'm moving my arms. Pretty cool, right?
It is cool.
But it is about tiny motions, tiny movements, changing the things slightly.
Just slightly. Now, when something is changed or moved slightly, like the way that Mike is moving now, it is changed or moved just a tiny bit. Mike isn't moving his arms up in big circles. It's just making slight movement. Slight is the adjective form of slightly. So what on earth does photograph mean?
Ah, yes, we have to photograph things while changing them slightly. Let's find out about this word that is very important in filmmaking and especially in stop motion animation. Mm. So yes, we have this rather long word, photograph, P-H-O-T-O-G-R-A-P-H. Now, a photograph can be both a verb and a noun. When we're talking about a picture, one of those images that you make with your camera or with your phone, the camera on your phone, that is a photograph. Hey, look at this cool photograph I got of a famous person or something like that. But when you use the camera to capture that image, when you hold it up, if you're using a phone and press the button, or get the camera in front of your face and click the shutter to make the picture, you are photographing something. So to photograph is just to use a camera to take a picture or to make a photograph. That's all it is. But if you're painting something, that's not the same. If you're drawing something, that's not a photograph. And even if you're using a film camera to record action, that would be a little bit different. So a photograph is just taking one picture of one moment in time. For example, we could say, you are not allowed to photograph the pictures in this exhibition, so please leave your camera at the entrance. If you don't have a camera, you can't photograph things. Okay, now as I mentioned, to photograph something is to make a picture, but if we're making a movie, a moving picture, we take many frames, many pictures, we put them all together, play them really, really quickly, and our brain turns that into things that are moving in front of us. But if you've ever seen film, you'll notice that a film is actually made up of many thousands of individual pictures. Those are the ones that are played quickly that make it look like it's moving. So when we talk about one picture, one little image in a film, then we would talk about a frame, all right? Most films are shown at about 32 frames every second.
Oh, really?
But to get to HD, you're getting up around 70 frames, 70 little pictures every second. And that's why your brain sees it as something that is moving. But in animation, each artist might work on one picture. That would be one frame. And if you chain them all together, then you'll get a moving picture or a film.
So that way, they appear to move on their own, as you just said, when the frames are played quickly as a movie. Now, we saw the phrase on their own there. Now, when something happens on its own, it does that thing without any help from anyone else. So if I say the lights went out on their own, that means that someone didn't turn off the lights. They just went dark, just like that.
Yeah.
Perhaps the light bulb went out, or perhaps it could have been a ghost.
Could it?
Yeah.
It could have been a ghost.
It could have been a ghost.
Or a dinosaur.
Or a dinosaur.
Or a giant ape. Anyways, let's get back to the article. So stop motion, this type of animation, this type of movie making, it says stop motion has a long history in film. Yeah, long before they were using computers to make special effects, stop motion was the main technology.
Yeah, a long, 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 long time,
long time, it seems.
Yeah, the article says the first stop motion film, The Humpty Dumpty Circus, was made in 1898.
Really?
Wow, a long... Yeah. Wow. We've got to find this.
I would guess like 1920 or something. Mm-hmm. That's a lot longer.
But you can see why they chose to do a movie about a circus, though, couldn't you? A circus, that's a noun, and they were very popular at the end of the 19th century.
Sure.
A circus is a group of people, and sometimes animals, that go from place to place doing tricks for people and entertaining them. Now, often we hear about traveling circuses. Those are ones that move around all the time. Or there's the Cirque du Soleil. That's the most famous circus in the world.
Yeah.
Now, normally circuses will put on their performances in a big stripy tent, and that is quite simply known as a circus tent. So our example sentence for circus is, Stephen watched amazing dancers and saw funny clowns at the circus.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So they made a film of a circus, but of course, sometimes when you're filming animals, they don't always do what you want.
Yeah.
So that might explain where the stop motion came in. Let's find out more. It says, in the film, a toy circus of animals and clowns come to life. Wow, so that's even harder to make.
Yeah, they don't move on their
own. They don't move on their own, even if you ask them nicely, because we're talking about taking toys that, of course, don't move, but making it like a fairy tale, like some magic happens, and kind of like in Toy Story, suddenly the toys come to life. But unlike with Toy Story, they couldn't do it with computers. They had to find a different way to make them come to life. When we use this expression, we're talking about a thing that isn't normally living. And we're talking about how it, through magic, through, you know, in a story, something like that, it seems to get life put into it. Again, think of Toy Story. Think of Woody or Buzz Lightyear. When the people are around, they just kind of sit there because they're toys. But as soon as the people leave, they pop to life. They come to life. They become like living things when normally they wouldn't.
Yes. Now, over the next 100 years, stop motion grew into a complex art form. Now, it grew into a complex art form, that's another phrase, and when a business, art, event grows into something, it develops or gets bigger until it becomes that thing. So, for example, opera started out, I don't know if you knew this, it started out as a type of cheap entertainment for poor people, but in some parts of Europe, it then grew into an art form that was very expensive to see and very popular with the wealthy. So it grew from one thing to another thing. It started small and ended up very large.
Oh,
so what does complex mean?
Something that is complex is complicated. It's kind of the opposite of simple or something like that. Something simple is easy to understand. There's not very much to it. It won't take you long to understand it, learn about it, or figure it out. Something complex is very complicated. Many different parts, a lot of things you need to know before you can try to understand it. All right? So we can have things that are both simple and complex, like math. If I said, what's 2 plus 3, you might say,
6.
You'd be close, but that would be a fairly simple question. But if you start putting in X and Y and little 2s and little weird symbols, and you're talking about something, a PhD person or someone designing rocket ships, that kind of math, that would be very complex, very complicated. You would need to study a long time to understand something like that. For most people. For example, rocket science is not an easy subject. It's very complex. It's hard to build a rocket. Well, and if you don't want the rocket to just go boom and
you need to understand.
It's hard. It's hard. It's complex.
Yes. So our next line in the article is, it included everything from puppets to clay to thousands of jointed models that could be posed. Now, a jointed model, that would be a kind of a figure with maybe some points here that we can move.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of like most dolls, actually. A lot of dolls will have plastic joints in their shoulders, and action figures will have them too.
If it's made of wood and just you can't move it, then that would not be jointed. But if the elbows, the knees, the back, the neck, if parts like that move, those are our joints, right? The parts on your body that move, wrist, elbow, shoulder.
And with those, we can pose them as well,
that's
can't we?
Right.
But what does pose mean?
To pose basically is to put something in a certain position. All right, if you're taking a photograph, for example, the photographer might say, okay, turn your head a little bit to the left. Now put your hand here. They're posing you. They're putting you in an attractive form or figure or shape or position. So when you're sort of controlling the thing and moving it around to make it look just right, You are posing that thing.
Yes. Now, traditional stop motion had its heyday through the 1970s and 1980s. Its heyday, that is a noun, and when an art, culture, or country is in its heyday, H-E-Y-D-A-Y, that's one word, it is experiencing the period of time when it is at its best or it is most popular. For example, one about my people. In its heyday, the British Empire was so big that it covered more than one quarter of the whole world. Now, Britain doesn't cover one quarter of the whole world today, but in its heyday, it did.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. In the 1890s, sort of that
around
period,
then.
Late 1800s, mm-hmm. early 1900s. Yes, that was sort of its peak, its greatest point. All right, let's get back to the article. It says, it was a stop motion animation, again, it was a main visual effect in many films up until the 1990s, and it's still used in some films today. Yeah, of course, computers kind of took over in the 1990s, but some people still use it to create visual effects. When we talk about special effects or visual effects in a film, that's basically the same kind of thing. The filmmakers are using science and art to sort of make things happen that didn't really happen in real life. If the scene is a person walking into a room and sitting on a chair, you don't need visual effects for that. But if you want to have a dragon walk into a room and sit on a chair and have lunch with a dinosaur, unless you can find real dragons to do that, you'll need visual effects because you're creating something that is not possible in real life.
And we also saw up until as well. There was one more phrase there in that article. Up until is just kind of an easy phrase we use to mean until a certain time. So we were talking up until John entered the room, for example. We were talking. When John entered the room, we stopped. It implies that the conversation ended.
Yeah, or you could say, I lived at home with my parents up until I left to go to university. So we're sort of showing you the history when something started and then at what point it stopped.
For you, chat.
So, we have a great For You Chat question for today. It is, what is your first memory of seeing stop-motion animation?
Wow.
And what did you think of it?
That's a great question, and I probably can't remember because I seem to remember as a kid watching that Sesame Street show. And they had lots of little cool scenes and different things in it, and I'm sure they must have had stop-motion animation.
A little bit in there.
Yeah, and being from Canada, of course, we have the famous NFB, the National Film Board of Canada, which also did a lot of cool animation way back in the, a long time ago. So I guess I saw that on TV, but I can't really remember. What about you?
I think it would have to be Wallace and Gromit.
Oh, of course. Yeah, those are Chicken Run. And
Chicken Run as well.
The Wrong Trousers.
Yes, the Wrong Trousers. The Were-Rabbit. That was... Who was it? Nick Park?
Nick Park and Aardman Studios.
And Aardman Studios in the 70s and 80s during the heyday of stop animation. Bad English. They made a lot of films and series out of clay models, which they would move tiny, tiny, tiny movements and take lots and lots of pictures to make movies. The problem was it would take them... I think one of the movies took 10 years to make because they had to take so many pictures of all these huge clay models.
You have to be very patient, and no one can drink coffee because you can't be shaking all the time.
One mistake, start over.
And they did a Pirates movie just a few years ago, I think. I remember that. That was a good one. But I think they're still making films. So there's a lot of good stop-motion animation out there. Some of it's easy to find. Some of it you might have to go on YouTube and be a bit lucky. But anyways, if you're interested in stop-motion animation, there's many examples out there, and you can enjoy quite a few of them, I'm sure.
And we're going to talk a little bit more about that tomorrow. But for now, for English for You, I'm Seb.
I'm Mike.
And we'll see you tomorrow.
Stop-motion wave.
The magic of stop-motion animation. Imagine you see a giant ape climbing to the top of a building, or dinosaurs fighting each other. You've probably seen special effects like these in movies. Before computer animation was possible, this movie magic was achieved with stop-motion animation. This technique uses objects that are changed slightly between photographing each frame. That way, they appear to move on their own when the frames are played quickly as a movie. Stop motion has a long history in film. The first stop motion film, The Humpty Dumpty Circus, was made in 1898. In it, a toy circus of animals and clowns come to life. Over the next 100 years, stop motion grew into a complex art form. It included everything from puppets to clay to thousands of jointed models that could be posed. Traditional stop motion had its heyday through the 1970s and 1980s. It was a main visual effect in many films up until the 1990s, and it's still used in some films today.
Vocabulary Review. Dinosaur. Many years ago, dinosaurs were the largest and most powerful animals on Earth. Probably. From the look of those dark clouds, it will probably rain soon. Achieve. Pauline worked hard to improve her English and achieved good grades on all her exams. Photograph. We asked a stranger to photograph us as we stood in front of the Eiffel Tower. Circus. More and more circuses are no longer using animals in their shows these days. Complex. Puppets come in all shapes and sizes, from small, simple ones to large and complex models.
智慧小补帖.
Slightly. Frame. Heyday. Visual effect.